Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to our Flesh Wound Animal Trilogy Jello Special. I'm Daniel Shine. That's producer Todd Loya.
What's up?
Pugs Dread.
Namaste.
And Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
So we are tackling, as I said, the Animal Trilogy, Dario Argento's Animal Trilogy. Kind of a little bit of a, you know, lead up to our big Giallo tournament that's going to be coming later this month. And yeah, figured kick it off with some of the best regarded films and some of the earlier ones. So, so yes, we hope you're ready. I've been having a great time revisiting all the Giallos, and we'll get right into it with Bird with the Crystal Plumage, which is a 1970 film from director Dario Argento. And for those of you that aren't familiar with it, Sam Dalmas, an American writer living in Rome, inadvertently witnesses a brutal attack on a woman in a modern art gallery. Powerless to help, he grows increasingly obsessed with the incident, convinced that something he saw that night holds the key to identifying the maniac terrorizing Rome. He launches his own investigation, parallel to that of the police, heedless of the danger to both himself and his girlfriend, Julia. A staggeringly assured debut, Bird with the Crystal Plumage establishes the key traits that would define Dario Argento's filmography. All right, so little background on Bird with the Crystal Plumage. It's not the first Giallo, but it is sort of like the one that put Giallo on the
map. The Halloween of Giallos.
Yeah, it is the Halloween of Giallos. It is. This was a massive, massive hit in Italy. A big hit on 42nd Street as well. This movie was quite popular. Some of you even may remember, if you watched The Deuce, this was like the opening shot of Bird with the Crystal Plumage. Yeah, it's based on a novel called The Screaming Mimi by Frederick Brown. And which was also a Hollywood film at one point as well. And this one, the Anita Ekberg one, was a little bit more truer to the source material. But this one is unique because it's not as graphic as latter Argento, as some of you.
It was actually rated GP in the United States.
Yes. GP?
Yeah, that was pre-PG.
Yeah.
General. It's the same thing. They just flipped it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, parental guidance. So is guidance parental?
I don't know. It was general
public.
That's what it was.
Did you guys find, like, because people forget, like, these, you know, these early ones were really not that sleazy, fairly safe, you know, to watch around polite company.
We may have been desensitized. Maybe back then it was some shit.
Oh, it was. No, definitely back then.
Answered your own question, sir.
Definitely was.
But real quick before, I know we're going to get into it more when we do our larger show, but real quick, just a quick, what is a giallo, you may be asking yourself. It comes from the Italian murder mystery books that were very popular there, and they all had yellow covers. So that's where the name comes from when they started doing that style of film. But we will be talking a lot more in depth, because there is the what qualifies as a giallo, what doesn't. That's like a big thing. So we're not going to get into that part here, because there's no arguing that these qualify as giallo. But we'll talk about it when we do the other stuff. So
absolutely, absolutely. So being one of the early giallos, I still think this is one of the best. It holds up very well. There's certain things that are dated. If you haven't watched this in a while, there's the gay antiques dealer, which is not aged well. But overall, the violence is fairly tame. This is the one you can watch with the family. I shouldn't say that, because I will get somebody mad at me. But yeah, good family entertainment. There's so much this movie has going for it. The great Reggie Nalder popping up in a small role. It's still kind of, you know, these early ones really kind of had the crimmy connection. in Germany, there was a lot of German character actors that you see in some of these earlier ones. And I think it's a masterpiece. I really do. It's so hard ranking like best Dario Argento, but it's in there in the discussion. It's not my personal favorite, but I still love this film. Kruger, was this a first time watch for you, or had you already visited Bird with the Crystal Plumage?
This is a first time watch. I'm pretty new to the whole giallo scene. I actually, like, the reason I got into these movies were from like an unearthed film that was going for a 70s giallo feel, and since I've watched that, I've been really interested in these, especially with the history that they have, you know, with slashers, because slashers are my favorite types of films. So going in to this, I was kind of expecting a lot, because this is one of the most highly recommended ones among giallo fans, and it has great cinematography and a pretty good soundtrack. And I did dig the characters, even though main character Sam, like, at times, it seems like he's kind of tampering with police.
You'll get used to that in future games. Police
investigation. you still kind of feel for him, because he was just trying to do the right thing. And, you know, due to him trying to do the right thing, now he's wrapped up with a fucking serial killer. And I also like, you know, the look of the killer with the long black leather gloves, the long coat and the hat. You can obviously see how that inspired a lot of other looks. I mean, I was just thinking Pieces the whole time when I saw that, because, you know, Pieces obviously takes that look, which is a slasher. The story is good. It does a good job of keeping you guessing who the killer is. And I did find it a little slow at times, though. But once, like, these moments happen, we'd get, like, you know, a scene with the killer to bring me back in, or a funny ass side character's dialogue. The kills are just okay. They didn't really impress me at all. They left a lot to be desired, in my opinion. I kind of wish, you know, we'd see more violence. That being said, though, there was one kill I really dug, and I'll talk about in spoilers. But other than that, this kind of lacked for me in the kill department big time. Compared to other giallos I've seen. Luckily, the final act was really good, and it kind of pulled me back around on the film. It had a really good twist I didn't see coming, and that definitely made up for some disappointment I had. So overall, I think it's a good giallo. But because it lacked in the kills, it didn't really, you know, I didn't love it. It's, you know, obviously good, and I liked it quite a bit. But as far as this being one of my favorites, it's not. I mean, you could argue it's a masterpiece if you're into the, but for me, like, in my opinion, it's not my favorite that Argento's done, nor my favorite of the genre, like, honestly, not even close, but still really good. And I think anybody that's getting into giallos should watch this one, because, like you guys already said, it's kind of one of the founding fathers of the giallo
and Argento
genre. So you can definitely see
where very first film also.
Oh, good. Yeah. And as an Argento fan, it's pretty cool to see, you know, like, how reoccurring themes from this movie, you know, leaked into his other films. So I do recommend it, but like I said, it's not going to get the highest rating for me, because I didn't enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed maybe some of the other
movies. The one thing I did want to throw out there, tonight, also similar to Halloween, it was very restrained. Like you mentioned, that it wasn't super, you know, over the top like later. And as we get later in, you know, giallo in general, we get more and more gore and over the top. Kind of like, you know, we get those.
And six.
Yeah, we get those over-the-top kills. We get that all kind of like the same thing that happened in the slasher thing. They started off small and grew to, you know, the gore and everything got bigger and bigger.
Well, you give people a little taste and, you know, they want more and more. What this is. It was just just the tip.
Yeah. I do say this is better as a starting point.
Dude, for a first film, it's fucking amazing.
No, I mean, like, for if you're getting into giallos and you haven't really, this should be one of your very first ones to kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you watched more violent ones before this, you kind of are expecting.
Yeah, they copy this a lot.
I think I like it a lot, but Kruger mentioned Pieces, and when I was watching this, I'm like, fuck, now I really feel like watching Pieces. That movie's awesome. I really like the end. I think that's where it hits home for me. And the reason behind what the killer sees, and we'll get there in spoilers, but yeah, it's a solid entry, good starting point, like Todd said, and yeah, I got no complaints. It's fucking cool.
Yeah, well, I guess we should just rate it then. Dan, what do you got?
Oh, 5 stars. This one's a masterpiece, like most early Argento.
Pugs? Oh, Kruger, go ahead.
It's all good. Fucking, I'm a 3.5. Maybe I'll grow to love this one eventually, but for my first time viewing, only a 3.5 up on my enjoyment level. But like I said, I'm not going to argue with you if you call it a masterpiece. I'm just a guy that's into a lot of fucking blood, it sex, is what and violence. So.
He gets there. I'm a 4 out of 5. I think it's really fucking excellent.
So. I'm actually with Pugs, but I get Dan because it is like, the shots you can see a lot of the stuff that we're going to get to like in his later career, like amped up, but it is such a good start. I'm a 4. I do love it, and I do consider it, see, that's where I get fucked up. I consider it a masterpiece, but I don't want to give it a 5 because I think there's better ones.
You could go 4.5.
I'm sticking with the 4. I said it, so okay. Don't make me switch it because I'm thinking about it.
So yes, we'll move on to the second.
We don't have any of that tonight.
Kumite.
The second in the animal trilogy, which is Dario Argento's Cat-O-Nine Tales from 1971, and in this one, when a break-in occurs at a secretive genetics institute, blind puzzle maker Franco Arno, who overheard an attempt to blackmail one of the institute's scientists shortly before the robbery, teams up with the intrepid reporter Carlo Giordani. But before long, the bodies begin to pile up, and the two amateur sleuths find their own lives imperiled in the search for the truth. And worse still, Lori, Franco's young niece, may also be in the killer's sights. All right. So, Cat-O-Nine Tales. What did you think, Kruger? Was this another first time, or had you seen this one previously?
Yeah. All of these tonight are going to be first time watchers for me. So this one had a really great, the first thing I want to say about it is it had a great soundtrack. This soundtrack adds so much suspense to the movie. It's really masterfully done. The characters I really dug, especially the blind man Franco and his niece. Also, the reporter was pretty great too, and the dialogue was real wooden. There's some funny moments, like one scene in particularly involving a barber and the reporter. It was like really, really funny, and there's like a good comedic moment there. There were two kills I really liked. Other than that, though, the rest were a little lackluster, and I thought the story was really well done. I wasn't huge on who ends up being the killer, but the ending was still pretty satisfying. So overall, I really liked it a lot. It's about on par for like Deep Red for me, which is another Argento one I really like. My only criticism is this one's a little bit long. Like, it's almost 2 hours long, and I feel like there could have been maybe some trimming of the fat to bring up my enjoyment level, because I felt some scenes dragged a little bit. But it's definitely worth the watch. I can definitely see myself revisiting this one for the two kills alone, and I'm definitely going to talk about those in spoilers. So, yeah, really liked it a lot.
Pugs, I've always liked this one. I do feel you on the long, how long the movie is, because sometimes I can be a little, let's wrap this up. Come on, move the pace along. But yeah, I do love the blind guy. I want a whole movie of him just being okay. Like, I want a prequel. I like him a lot. His niece is cool. I think I know the kills you're talking about, and fuck yeah. So, yeah, this one's good. I got nothing sticks out in particular. So I also feel you on that, Kruger. But yeah, it's good.
All right.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Now you threw me off. You know, it's this, Argento considers this his worst film. Did you know that?
He's a clown.
Yeah.
I think that's Dracula, but yeah, he did.
You know what? I don't know.
He probably still prefers Dracula over this, which is dumb.
I will defend Dracula. You name another one with a badass 3D killer praying mantis. I'll wait. But that's a show for another day.
Insecticidal.
Hold your breath.
You guys haven't watched it in 3D, so we'll just leave that be. Well, when everyone's here, we're going to watch that sub bitch in 3D, and you're going to love it.
Put the gun down, Todd. The movie's fine.
Get the brain. Yeah, I like Carl Malden as the lead, the blind dude. Not my favorite giallo either. But I do really enjoy this one. I do think Argento is crazier because he's had worse giallos than this one. I'm not even going to talk about the other ones. I'm not going to bring up Suspiria Pugs.
I was like, I think you know which movie I think is his worst.
I know. But no, yeah, Kruger mentioned a couple good kills. I do enjoy the story, and the our lead and the little girl are very likable.
I know so. Dan likes her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that one of the issues with this movie is there was a lot going on behind the scenes. This was rushed fast. I mean, after Bird just exploded, I mean, this was rushed out really quickly. And there were a lot of issues because Dario Argento and Dardano Sicacci, that is the worst name to say, with the co-writers had a legal dispute over the script. There was all sorts of things that had to be smoothed out by Salvatore, the producer, and Dario's dad, who had a lot of pull. Honestly, it amazes me that he doesn't think highly of this one. I mean, it's no Deep Red. It's no certainly no Suspiria, although that's not really
okay. You know what, Dan? It's no Tenebrae. If you're gonna put something over, you got to put over goddamn Tenebrae.
It's no Tenebrae, but
I know. I gotta love how I mentioned Deep. I mentioned it's on par with Deep Red for me, and then he goes.
Well, in my opinion, Deep Red is a really strong one.
Yeah, I'm with Dan. I think. Yeah,
that I raise pretty high, but yeah, I don't know. I think James Franciscus is a really good actor. He was one that like was on the verge of. He was in a lot of different movies, but he never quite exploded as like an A-list guy. I heard he was a bit on the difficult side. Carl Malden, I think, does a great job as Franco. I look at it and I'm not quite sure what Dario's issue was. It's not as strong as Bird with the crystal plumage, but it's in league with it. I think it's aged fairly well. The whole genetics plot line was pretty unique at that time. Something we saw a lot later on, certainly in the science fiction genre. But yeah, not his best one, but again, it's such a so strong. The 70s and 80s in general, I mean, Dario was slaying it. So yeah, I'm not going to call it a masterpiece, but it's a great movie.
I do want to throw out real quick, these first two films are both available streaming on Tubi. This one's also on Prime. I don't think The Bird with the Crystal Plumage is. And technically, our next film, Four Flies on Grey Velvet, has never had a legit U.S. release. That includes the Maya DVD, Dan. Yeah. Not legit. So
yeah, Maya was a little sketchy at times.
Yeah, but they put out some good shit, even if they didn't probably own what they're putting out.
Yeah, Hunchback of the Morgue, absolutely.
They're providing a service.
So why don't we go into our ratings and jump right into Four Flies? Because I almost blew past that shit. Kruger, yeah. What do you give Cat O' Nine Tails?
Yeah. I get Cat of Nine Tails is going to get a 4 out of 5 for me. I think it's actually better than Bird with the Crystal Plumage, in my opinion, as far as my enjoyment level. So 4 out of 5.
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
What do you give it?
Yeah, it's just a good time. It's not, I find it on par with the last one. So,
yeah, I've been going back and forth between 3.5 and 4, kind of like last one. I was going back and forth between 4 and 4.5, but you know what? It is good. I'm gonna go 4 also.
Yeah, I'm a 4. Great film.
Hey, one big kind of hole.
We were close.
The kills alone deserve the 4 rating, in my opinion.
All right, so moving on to our third in the Animal Trilogy, also from 1971. So he really hammered these out quick, and that is 4 Flies on Grey Velvet. And this one, who is the deranged maniac persecuting and mentally torturing celebrated rock musician Roberto Tobias? First, he's implicated in a horrifying stabbing and is soon surrounded by other senseless slaughter. The last strange images captured one murder victim's eye retina contain the only clue to the demented criminal manipulator. And the identity will take Roberto over the edge of sanity to a shock horror peak in Dario Argento's classic Giallo Chiller. All right. So this is definitely the most obscure because, yeah, like you said, it really hasn't officially been out. There is that Shameless Blu-ray that's region free.
There's actually 2 Blu-rays. I forget the other one, but both of them have slight issues. I don't know if you guys noticed while watching the Shameless one, since that's the one we all watch. There's you can hear the distortion in the English track towards the end.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah, it switches from Italian back to American at the end. I was like, "What the fuck?" Because I'll get right into what I think about it because I was really into this one a lot. The fucking cinematography in this is fucking like this is the best out of the trilogy in my opinion as far as cinematography. The opening when Roberto, you know, gets set up, accidentally stabs the man in the hat with the sunglasses, causing him to fall down the stage, you know, to his death. And then a mysterious person is in a fucking creepy ass mask taking pictures. Like, that was the opening scene. I was like gripped to the screen from that. The dialogue was enjoyably well written. I particularly liked the scene where somebody's describing this execution. This woman's like, "Who brought that guy here?" Like, that's me at the fucking party. Or, you know, someone talking about some story called The Rape of Frankenstein and a man named Molester. Like, notes. What the fuck is this random guy talking about? But, oh, shit.
That's okay.
Yeah, my bad, Todd. Yeah, that shit. That shit was just I was laughing my ass off. I thought it was great, and because of that, like I said, the fucking side characters in this movie are iconic. Like, there's a guy named nicknamed God, for God's sake, and then you know you have this gay private investigator that can't solve a case, and he's, you know, trying to sell Roberto and hiring him after he eats a steak, 3 sandwiches, and a beer on his fuck tab. It's like it's hilarious. Or you know the delivery guy that Roberto just shit
fucking
out
love it.
So fucking funny, like. Dude, like, just the side characters in this movie are fucking really, really, really good. And, like, on top of that, Roberto is also, like, super likable because, you know, he's set up at the beginning of this movie. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Why would somebody want to set this dude up? So, you know, you're guessing the whole movie. And as the story is progressing, you're guessing who the killer is. And every time you think you have it, that character gets like offed, and I'm like, oh shit, well I'm fucking wrong, and like I love that. And then when it's finally revealed who the killer is and the final confrontation, fuck, it's so satisfying. Like, it's such a good ending. So overall, yeah, I really dug this a lot. It's one of the better giallos I've seen, you know, and had some fucking great kills. The soundtrack's great, cinematography, like I already said, and great characters. So I couldn't really ask for much more.
You already brought up the Rape of Frankenstein. You can't forget, though, the tagline was "The Man Made Molester." God damn it, I want that book turned into a movie. I mean,
that guy was like such like a sleazy Hollywood producer. Like I liked, I'm with Kruger. I liked everybody in this. The detective or PI, whatever the fuck he was, uses Dan logic, so it makes no fucking sense. But I like him.
Dan logic is regular in Jallows.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, this movie is the shit. It's actually one of my favorites. It may even be one of, it may even be my favorite Jallow movie. So that I'm not giving a, like my, I might be tipping my hat a little bit, but yeah, this one is awesome. The reason why it had, it's named Four Flies is a little ridiculous, but fuck it, why not? Yeah, I absolutely love this movie from setup to conclusion, and at the very end, wow.
Yeah,
it, at least there was a reason, because we have no cats or Cat of Nine Tails in the last one.
They do, yeah, they justify it at least. It's, yeah. I mean, it's definitely better than, I mean, I think there are positive opinions of this movie. It's just, it's the one that like, oh, I didn't, it's the one that nobody's ever seen, it seems. I'd say the weakest part of it is Michael Brandon, who, Mr. Lindsay Wagner, is kind of what he's known for, being married to the Bionic Woman. Not the greatest lead in comparison to some other Argento movies. But other than that, I mean, it's a hoot. I mean, it's funny. Some of the characters are so over the top. And you can, even in this short period of time, you can definitely see a progression towards the more extreme. I mean, it's still, again, it's no Tenebrae, as Todd was saying. But I really like this one. Even I've only watched this a few times. Well, yeah, maybe a few times, because I couldn't see it for the longest time, I think, until the Shameless really? Blu-ray came out. Yeah,
not the Maya DVD?
I don't remember if I saw it before then, because I knew that was kind of like a poor version.
I'll be fully honest. I saw it in a bootleg first.
Oh, so did I. I was so excited when I finally got that fucking... That was like the hardest one to find. Like, that was one of my prized possessions.
It wasn't mine. I was over a friend's house. He's like, hey, have you seen this? No, I haven't. Let's go.
VHS or DVD?
VHS.
Okay, so that's old, too. Yeah. Good call. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was a holy grail.
When he, it was the second time he sees him, he's like, I'm ready.
Yeah, no, it was the holy grail for a while, because yeah. I mean, it's like Argento, and it's early Argento, and I had to see this movie.
And it still does not have a definitive edition, and part of that lies with the fact that Paramount holds the U.S. rights. So getting Paramount, who doesn't even want to release half their own catalog in the U.S., but
yeah, and
maybe someone will license it from them. Oh, God, they're not above licensing stuff. They're not like Lionsgate. So maybe someone eventually.
Yeah. I hope Dan just said, like somebody like Arrow puts this out, because I mean, it's fucking strong. It's like I said, one of my favorite Jallows for sure. I've seen so far. Yeah. So
sure.
Why don't you rate it?
Kruger, why don't you go first?
Yeah, so I'm a 4.5. Fucking loved it. 4.5 out of 5. Definitely check this one out if you can get your hands on it. And yeah, highly recommend.
This bad boy is gonna get a 5 from me. I like it way too much not to.
Todd, I'm a 5 also. Yeah, and if you do want to find the Blu-ray, the Shameless one is still in print. I want to say the other one was German, but that may be a little harder to get. But yeah, you can definitely get the American one. So 5, or British one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a 4.5. I love this movie.
It's a great time.
All right. Well, my simple question was, which I didn't think was going to be this easy, but so what's everyone's favorite of the Animal Trilogy?
Four Flies.
I'm Bird.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of figured sure. Dan, because Dan gave Bird a 5.
Yeah,
which I do think is also great, but I there's
you almost gave it a 5.
I know, that's why I can't even. There's no wrong answer on this, no. So, but Well, I guess that's really all we have for this one.
Spoiler time, right?
Yeah. So, Dan, why don't you warn everyone?
So, guys, if you haven't gotten around to seeing these movies, which, again, some of them, I know
before, you haven't. Before Dan does that part, he should.
You segued into it, you bastard. All right, so be sure to like, share, and subscribe here on YouTube. I was YouTube.
Calling to find that.
and it really helps us. Also, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. It all starts at just $1. And there's a lot of uncensored content. We're actually meaner to each other sometimes, too. So, you know, it's it gets hardcore.
Check that out. It's fun.
All right.
So now, and the uncensored is no Dan dick pics, just so you know. It's just like uncensored comments, like we dropped F-bombs, all kinds of F-bombs. And
we may add F-bombs that like a tier, but man. You know, we'll see.
That's only Dan's. We already know this. So spoilers. Let's before Dan starts pimping out his grinder profile.
That's all right, spoiler time.
Gotcha. So, let's do Bird first. So for me, I laughed when that fucking one cop says, "Bring in the perverts," and he gets mad because they mislabeled the one trans girl under the perverts and not the transvestites.
That was Dan's.
That was just fucking hilarious. Like that was. Yeah, but it was funny to me because he was so fucking the cop was so mad. He was just like, "What the hell? Why is she with the perverts?" It's just fucking great. Also, the painter who eats fucking cats, like, what the fuck? That was fucking hilarious and like also disgusting because I love my fucking cats. But so I did actually like the kill. Where it like he slashes the shit out of the woman with the straight razor. It was giving me Maniac vibes. So it was that made me happy. And I think the ending was extremely well done. Cause at first I was like, oh, fucking the victim from the beginning's husband. That's fucking lame. But then, you know, they come and hit you with, oh no, he fucking didn't, you know, realize that she was the one stabbing him. That's what he fucking forgot. So it's actually the redheaded girl who everybody thought was the victim. And I thought, like, it was cool, like, the way she knocked spikes, the art piece down onto him. And, like, did that. Yeah. Well, I was kind of disappointed, though, the spikes didn't, like, you know, at least pierce him. Like, that would have been cool. Would have been cooler, you know, if he had like, you know, a pierced wound in his arm or something, but it's a 70s film. I'm not going to get too mad at it for it. But the thing I loved was the cop's karate chop to the chick's back of her fucking head. That was the funniest shit. It just like knocked her out cold. This is straight up the Austin Powers judo chop in the back of the neck. Yeah, so that's all I got.
I think Bird. I mentioned it. Salem's Lot fans, look out for Reggie Nalder or Kurt Barlow in Salem's Lot. You can't miss that face. all right. So,
all right, do we have anything? Okay.
Nice painting.
Very nice. Can you imagine what those would be worth to a fan right now if they still existed somewhere? Yeah. Dario's probably got
it right. I'm sure some motherfucker had shit sitting up in his house. There's some Italian horror fan that's got
the producer could have gave it away. Like I got that fucking painting from Night Angel.
Oh, I love that painting, dude. That is so cool.
I had to put that, you know what? That's going to go behind me soon. I love that painting too. That's why when he was like, I was like, yes, I don't give a shit what movie it's from. I want it.
I was going to say, yeah, I would get that even if I didn't know it was
so far. Well
Cat of Nine Tails.
Yeah, so the kill fucking scientist when he gets pushed in front of the train, that was a holy shit moment. Like I wasn't expecting that, and like you can kind of tell it was, you know, like a dummy, but like just the visceral image of the like getting flung around underneath the fucking train, like, because it just kept, you know, getting run over, so it's going around, like, spinning around all fucked up under the tracks. That was, like, really fucking cool. Also, the strangulation kill on the photographer, I thought was just decent at first, but then after, the killer, like, sliced his face up real quick, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, you know, I wasn't expecting that at all, and I dug that a lot. Also, holy shit, when fucking Blind Man Franco pulls out his cane with the switchblade at the end, I was like, fuck yeah. I was badass. The thing that I wasn't big on was, like, Cassione being the killer. Like, I was okay with it, but I didn't love it because, like, I didn't see enough of him in the movie to even, like, consider him as a possibility, if that makes sense. Like, because he didn't have, you know, any, like, you know, pretty memorable scenes. So, like, I wasn't even thinking about him. But his, you know, death was pretty fucking great. You know, Franco just says, fuck it, and shoves him through the fucking, you know, says, I'm going to be a vigilante, and shoves him through the glass after he says, I killed your daughter. And fucking he falls down the elevator shafts trying to save himself. And he fucking is grabbing the rope and he can't do it because he's going down too fast. And then boom, big thud, falls to his death, blood everywhere. Fucking great final kill.
This is me co-signing. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I wanted Malden to channel Rutger Hauer and Blind Fury and just completely.
Because I have the Arrow Video release of this movie, I checked out the some of the special features. A pretty cool thing where they were talking about how the ending was originally different, and they actually told Dario Argento to go back and rewrite it because it seemed too American, because it ended on a way higher note. Like, you know, they, like, it was pretty obvious that the girl didn't get killed, and so it didn't, like, it just ended on a happier note, and it didn't end with, you know, a fucking murder. So they told Dario, hey, go rewrite this. This sounds too American. I thought
it is his most.
They were trying to say, don't be a pussy.
Yeah. We need a little more of that today. So four flies?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the ending, Kruger. Because
Go ahead.
Special effects are a little rougher, but what are your thoughts on that final?
Yeah. But they hit it well. You know what I mean? Like, they hit it well, and just, like, it was cool as fuck just seeing a decapitation like that. Like, you know, her trying to escape, boom, she gets a fucking decap. Like, that was, like, such a high note, and I thought the ending was just great. And also, her reasoning why she's crazy was fucking awesome. Like, you know, my father raised me as a boy, and, you know, like, you're like, oh, shit. Like, you know, this person really fucked up, troubled past. Now I know why the fuck she did this shit. It's not just a random reason. She's been hiding in a bunch of shit from this guy, and that's why she, you know, eventually fucking wanted to, you know, frame him for a murder and get rid of him. I really liked that dream sequence that we kept going back to about the execution the guy was talking about in the party, and how we finally, you know, eventually see a really nice beheading. That looked really great. Looked better than the decap we got at the end. But like I said, I still loved it, because I was just like, holy shit, did that just happen? Just like, that's the final shot of the movie, is her head fucking rolling, you know, across the floor. So it's like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Like, you know, what a way to end it. As far as kills, though, like, the kill where the woman's, like, being chased, and she comes to a wall, and, you know, she's fucked. Like, there's nowhere to run, and there's a couple on the other side that's trying to get to her. Like, that was a really good little suspenseful, and I thought that was really cool. Also, when it's revealed that the man Roberto thought he killed, whose name is actually Gianni, is still alive, and we see that he's, you know, eating pasta at a restaurant, now to know where he smacks the waitress's ass. That was fucking that pop made me pop pretty hard. Also, the way the whole scene plays out, after, you know, you realize Roberto didn't kill him, Roberto didn't kill that guy, and you know, it seems like the guy had, you know, a deal worked out with the killer, and he's like, you know, he's starting to, you know, consider these murders going on, and the killer just says fuck it, and just bludgeons him to death. And we get this shot, like, you know, it's hitting him, and you're starting to see the damage on the face, and then he just spits blood right up at the screen. I thought that was fucking awesome. I love that so much. And then, you know, the kill on Dahlia where she gets her forehead sliced and thrown down the stairs, and you literally have the camera go with her, so you see her fucking head hit each stair. Like, that cinematography is fucking amazing. And that was just so good. It's so good. And like you said before, Pugs, like, it's a little silly, the, you know, the retina thing with the four flies, but I also just loved how the name, you know, tied in, much like, you know, the bird with the crystal plumage. You're wondering, you know, when the fuck is this name going to tie into the movie? And it does at the end. So yeah, fucking, this is definitely one of my favorite Giallos so far. And yeah. All of those things I talked about just were making me pop so hard when I was watching.
Yeah, no, definitely. It is one that people overlook. And I also want to throw out the Ennio Morricone score, as always, stellar. And I look forward to
comparing.
Well, Argento, I'm really looking forward to comparing him against Sergio Martino's stuff, who doesn't get enough credit for some of his giallo work. But I don't really have any spoilers per se. I just go and see these. If you've missed any of these, which I know Four Flies, a lot of you have, check it out.
Yeah. And also make sure you check out our Giallo show coming up. It's a big tournament. It's much similar to
do before we start. Oh, yeah. In case someone's skipping through to see when it's not spoilers. Okay. Get to pimp it now.
Yeah, no. No, so make sure if you enjoyed this video, go check out our Giallo show coming up. It's much similar to the slasher show we do. We're gonna put a bunch of Giallos together, have them face off with each other, and have a final three at the end of the whole thing. And I think we got quite a bit of them, so you'll have lots of content, lots of Giallos, movies to watch,
13 episodes
watch with us. So
that'll be the end of the month. Look out for it. We'll promote it, so you guys know when it's going to start. So, but end of the month. That's what we're doing now.
Make some room on your schedule.
I'm curious what ends up reigning supreme, because we've got a really cool lineup.
I am too.
There's one I might fight pretty hard for. We'll see how it goes. We may be on the same page.
I don't know. I think
we'll find out. Tune in and see.
Yeah. So I guess on that note, Pugs.
So be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Follow us across all the social media bullshits. Check us out on Patreon. Starts just at $1, but you can donate however much you want and check out all the cool shit we have there. Uncensored, but no dick pics. So please and thank you, everyone. Let's get the hell out of here.
Good night.
I'll see you in Disneyland.